Yung professor ko ng seminary years ago shared a story of a banker friend of his. One day, binisita niya ito sa bangko at inabutan niyang nagbibilang ng bundles and bundles of money. And ginagawa niya ito without a counting machine in just a few seconds. I think it comes with the territory. Pag matagal ka nang exposed sa ganong klaseng environment at trabaho, talaga mapapabilis ka na ng bilang kahit walang counting machine. So he, out of curiosity, he asked his friend kung papaano niya nalalaman kung ang pera ay genuine or synthetic. Fake ba ito o totoo? What are the marks na kailangan niyang hanapin to determine kung ano ang fake na pera? Now, you need to understand, during this time, wala pa po yung mga sophisticated na mga machines para ma-detect kung ano yung mga original na bills or not. Well, sabi ng kanyang kaibigan, bukod sa texture, appearance, and even scent, meron siyang extraordinary ability na malaman yung kung totoo ba pero hindi by just listening to it. So ang gagawin niya is iipunin niya yung bundle ng pera at patutunugin niya. Which is really, really impressive. Pero according sa mga professor ko is he did prove that na kaya nga niyang malaman. So that's some of the marks na kailangan daw tignan. In our passage today, Paul continues to encourage si Timothy to persevere in the faith and in the gospel ministry. And as he gives Timothy instructions, makikita din natin na he gave marks of a genuine or faithful gospel minister who will persevere in proclaiming and preserving the gospel. And we will look at it sa 2 Timothy chapter 2. We are in our second week sa ating sermon series sa 2 Timothy na we have entitled Final Words from Death Row. This is Paul's farewell letter to a young, timid, inexperienced pastor named Timothy. Sinulat niya ito while he was in chains na nakakulong po sa Roman prison. He was alone. Many of the people that he had poured his life to ay hindi na niya kasama. He abandoned him, abandoned the faith, left the church. And there he was alone with Dr. Luke trying to tend to his needs, waiting for his execution. Sinulat ito ni Paul kay Timothy to encourage him in his struggles, urging him to stay faithful sa gospel by guarding the good deposit entrusted to him, and all who follow Christ sa gitna ng trials and hardship should do the same. Alam din ni Paul ang urgency to proclaim, protect, and preserve the gospel by handing it down to the next generation. We have seen last week that Paul strongly urges this young pastor to be unashamed of the gospel, to boldly proclaim it, to preserve it. At ngayong umaga, we will see that this precious gospel that Timothy needs to protect also needs to be passed on. At syempre, hindi lang basta-basta kung kanino lang, and we will look at this later. In the passage that we read kanina, Paul warns Timothy about false teachings that were destructively spreading like cancer sa loob ng church in Ephesus. Ang kahindik-hindik effect ng false teaching na ito had caused the saints in Ephesus to be disheartened or discouraged, to be ungodly, and sadly, some swerve from the truth. That's why Paul urges Timothy to get the Word of God right. The careful handling of God's Word counters and prevents the spread of false teaching that is ruining the faith of the believers sa Ephesus. Paul's letter to Timothy ay applicable di lamang sa mga pastors, specifically mga young pastors or those who are aspiring pastors, who weekly engage in the preaching and teaching of God's Word, But it is also applicable to all believers, you and me, all believers, followers of Jesus Christ, who are teaching God's word to their young ones, to their loved ones, and to their colleagues. This passage is a reminder that we as teachers of God's word have a huge responsibility in handling God's word carefully, correctly, and to guard it against false teaching. It is a call to be a faithful gospel minister. Hindi lang ito sa mga pastor, it is also your call to be a faithful gospel minister. Our main idea natin ngayong umaga is this. A gospel minister is a disciple maker, devoted servant, and a diligent worker. A gospel minister is a disciple maker, devoted servant, and a diligent worker, which ito rin po yung 3 points ng ating sermon today. A disciple maker, verses 1 to 2. A devoted servant, verses 3 to 13. And a diligent worker, verses 14 to 26. We're going to talk about a faithful gospel minister. Entrust the gospel to faithful men who will teach it to others, and those people will pass it on to others. Who will also endure suffering by the grace of God, and is a worker that God will call approved, that God calls approved. So let's jump right in sa ating first part. Number one, a disciple maker. A disciple maker. Verse 1, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now let's stop right there. Pagkatapos ni Paul na pinaalala ang reality ng suffering, na ang suffering kalakip sa faithful ministry of proclaiming, preserving, and protecting the gospel, and gave examples of men who persevered and those who did not, he then now speaks to him tenderly and encourage him to be strengthened. Be strengthened, Timothy. Be strengthened, my son. To be strengthened or to be strong ay nasa present passive imperative na ang ibig sabihin, it is a command for him not to rely on his own strength, but to continually draw from the strength that God provides. And what power are we to be strengthened by? We are to be strengthened by God's grace, which is found in Christ and our union with him through his death and resurrection. And so, this means that the message of the gospel is not just the power of God para sa mga non-Christians to come to a saving knowledge of Christ, but it is also the power by which tayong mga Christians are strengthened and encouraged para magpatuloy sa Christian life and gospel ministry. So in moments, paano itsura neto, Pastor, sa Christians? Well, let me give you some examples. So in moments of weariness and discouragement of soul, we Christians are commanded to continually draw strength from God by reminding ourselves with the gospel. Basically, yun po yun. Reminding ourselves with the gospel. Ano itsura neto? Well, kung nagkakaroon tayo ng doubts sa intentions ng Panginoon sa pagbigay niya ng mga commands sa atin, we should remind ourselves of the gospel. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is the gospel, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Kung tayo naman ay nagsastruggle sa identity natin, nagsastruggle tayo sa identity natin and end up trying to be someone we're not, or are starting to believe what other people think about us, or we are tempted to view ourselves in light sa mga nagawa nating pagkakamali o kasalanan sa nakaraan, ang kailangan po natin gawin is be reminded of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old had passed away. Behold, the new had come. hindi na ikaw yun dati. You are now a child of God. If we feel unloved, Pastor, paano yun? I feel unloved, I feel rejected. Friend, be reminded of the gospel. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Tayo mga Christians are saved by grace alone, in Christ alone. So this means tayo ay mamumuhay at maglilingkod by grace alone, in Christ alone. Brothers and sisters, we should rehearse the gospel to ourselves daily. Rehearse the gospel to ourselves daily. 2 Timothy 1, verse 2 from last week. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, chapter 2, verse 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Pinaalala ni Paul kay Timothy na ang gospel-centered teachings and sermons na nadinig niya throughout na magkasama sila, lalong-lalo na nung time na narinig niya ito sa church ng Ephesus, nung kunsaan siya inordain, okay, ito ang kailangan niya po matandaan, kailangan na ho niyang i-entrust sa iba. Timothy needs to pass it on, itong teachings at yung gospel na to. He needs to train disciple men to teach and preach it. Timothy is to disciple men who will be disciple-making disciples. Ito ang regular na paraan upang ma-preserve at lumaganap ang gospel. Timothy needs to entrust the preaching and teaching ministry of the church to men who are faithful to God's word and the gospel. Men who are qualified na kung saan able to teach. Able to teach. Able to teach these truths na walang dagdag o walang bawas, preserving its purity and faithfully passing it on sa next generation. Sa madaling salita, Timothy is to raise up, train, and disciple men who are qualified to be pastors or elders. In his first letter kay Timothy sa chapter 3, and sa second letter niya kay Titus naman, sa second letter niya sa last epistles niya, Paul gave qualifications ng isang elder or pastor para alam ni Timothy kung anong kailangan niyang hanapin ng mga mama. At isa sa mga qualifications nito ay able to teach. Now, Paul or Timothy should not be looking for men with great oratory skills or eloquent. What he is looking is for men who is faithful in studying, memorizing, reading, applying God's word and knows how to teach it and apply it sa life ng congregation. Yun yung mga type ng men na hinahanap ni Timothy at gusto mahanap ni Paul maglilid ng church sa Ephesus. Friends, I have a prayer request para sa ating Crossroads. Pray that Crossroads would be a church that raises up more pastors who will faithfully proclaim, preserve the purity of the gospel and pass it on to its next generation. Pray that Crossroads pastors will not be tempted to tweak God's word and the gospel to be liked by people or to be relevant or to have more people attended itong congregation, itong church. Pray that Crossroads pastors' resolve is preach nothing to you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Of course, hindi lahat ay tinawag maging pastor or elder. This truth still applies to all of you. Crossroads members, lahat tayo should be the type of people na hinahanap ni Timothy. All of us are to be faithful men and women who will proclaim, preserve the purity of the gospel, and pass it on to others. Hindi lang mga pastors. Magagawa mo ito by simply asking a brother or sister to read the Bible with you. Genuinely seeking to do spiritual good to each other. Maybe some of you are saying, Pastor, narinig ko na yung ilang beses sa sermon, paulit-ulit na tayo dyan. Then great, you're hearing it again. Siguro hindi mo na kailangan ma-remind, kailangan mo na ma-challenge. Ang kailangan mo siguro ay change. Do something about it. Ask someone to read the book or a book with you or read a Bible with you. If you say, walang lumalapit sa akin, Pastor, for discipleship, then approach us elders. We love pairing members with other members in order to cultivate yung culture of discipleship. My prayer is that Crossroads will be a church that disciple others to become disciple-making disciples. Will you become a disciple making disciples? Paul is a disciple maker. He instructs Timothy to be a disciple maker because a faithful gospel minister is a faithful disciple maker. Second, she is also devoted servant. A devoted servant. Basahin po natin yung verse 3 hanggang 7. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilians' pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Now, Paul returns to the main reason kung bakit kailangan ni Timothy ma-strengthen sa grace ni Christ. This is because the gospel ministry, the Christian life, involves suffering. It involves suffering. Kaya sa verses 4 hanggang 7, Paul, in his efforts to encourage si Timothy to persevere in the gospel ministry, uses three analogies to illustrate how one is to endure suffering and remain devoted to the cause. Una, nabanggit niya that he should suffer like a soldier. A soldier. A good soldier is single-minded. Siya ay devoted sa kanyang commander at mission. Hindi niya ini-involve ang sarili niya sa mga bagay na makakapag-distract sa kanyang mission at focus in pleasing yung commander niya. Ganun din ang good soldier of Christ. Meron single-minded devotion. Single-minded devotion kanino? Hindi kahit kanino, hindi kung kani-kanino, kung hindi sa Panginoon. Hindi niya hahayaan ang anumang bagay sa buhay to distract him from following and pleasing his commander, Jesus Christ. He will devotedly follow him even if it leads him to suffer hardships, persecutions, sickness, and even death. Dahil ang kanyang focus in life is to give glory to Christ. Single-minded devotion. A soldier that is focused. Mga kapatid, ano ang kasalukuyang nagdi-distract sa focus mo kay Christ that hinders you in obeying Him daily? Or even hinders you in making bold steps of faith para sa Kanya? What influences compete with your affections with Christ? Ano ang mga bagay sa buhay mo ang kailangan mo nang isuko sa Panginoon o ihinto that steals the glory na nararapat lamang sa Kanya? Brothers and sisters, let us eliminate distractions that hinder our focus on living for Christ's glory and fulfilling our mission. That is the soldier. Pangalawa, an athlete. Para manalo ng premyo ang isang atleta, he must compete according to the rules of the game. There is no other standard, there is no other rule book kung hindi yung binigay sa kanya. And for Christians to finish the race, he must keep the faith. He must keep the faith. Dapat siya magpatuloy sa Panginoon. And for him to keep the faith, he must rely on God's word to guide and strengthen him, as he also relies sa Spirit ng Panginoon to give him wisdom. Sabi nga ni Paul sa 2 Timothy, a few chapters after ng 2, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Friends, if we are to persevere sa gospel ministry, if we are to persevere sa ating Christian life, we have to do it according to God's will, hindi ayon sa kagustuhan natin. And for us to know God's will, we need to know God's Word. We should be soaking ourselves in God's Word. Here's our problem. Minsan, ultimo yung paglago natin sa Panginoon, gusto natin yung sarili nating kapamamaraanan. Hindi, tsaka na ako mag-church. Hindi, tsaka na ako magbabasa. Hindi, ito muna ang gagawin ko. Hindi pa ako ready, Lord. If you want to grow sa Panginoon, then you need to soak yourself sa salita ng Diyos. God's Word should be at the center of our lives and the forefront ng ating mga ministries. And for this to happen, we must develop hard but healthy habits and disciplines to grow our love, to grow our understanding and application ng kanyang salita. This is the athlete. Pangatlo, he uses a farmer. Dahil ang isang farmer endures hard labor. He must labor to plant seeds. Pag tumubo na yung, ang kanyang tinanim, kailangan niyang alagaan pag sa pagdidilig. Kailangan niya magdilig lagi, kailangan lagay ng pataba. He needs to care for it. And trust the Lord will bear fruit in its time. Nung inaaral ko tong part na ito ng passage, I was reminded of an old song na madalas nating kantahin nung bata. Or maybe your generation hindi alam itong kanta na ito. Pero it sounds something like this. Hindi ko po kakantahin. Magtanim ay di biro. Maghapong nakayuko. Di man lang makaupo, di man lang makatayo. Braso ko'y namamanhid, baywang ko'y nangangawit, binti ko'y namimintig sa pagkababad sa tubig. Halina, halina, mga kaliyag or companions, tayo'y magsipag unat-unat, magpanibago tayo ng landas para sa araw na bukas. In short, let's work hard for a bright future. The farmer suffers para lang magka-produce ng harvest that he and his family will enjoy. You know, magandang analogy ito for Timothy. Wonderful analogy para kay Timothy to think about as he disciples men to whom he will entrust the gospel ministry. Or to us ngayong oras na ito as we pour into other people in discipleship. Helping people follow Jesus is hard work. Hindi po madali. We need to do the hard work of constantly planting seeds of God's truths sa kanilang mga puso. We need to do the hard work of modeling it. We need to do the hard work of giving our time, our energy, our even resources. We need to model Christ-like living, do life together, and patiently wait for the Lord to grow them in maturity. This demands hard work and patience. Ganun din po as we pour into other people na wala pa sa Panginoon. We must do the hard work of getting the gospel to them clearly, with motivations of love And dapat consistent. And show kung ano itsura ng isang tao na may ganitong klaseng pananampalataya. But we must be reminded as you share the gospel to that child, as you share that gospel to your spouse, as you share the gospel to your colleagues, know this, na wala kayo at saka akong abilidad to save them. This is but God's work. And we should be patient, like a farmer. This is a picture of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. This is Paul's encouragement to Pastor Timothy as he labors away sa gospel ministry. Yes, hindi magiging madali ito, Timothy. Yes, you will face suffering. Yes, you will be tempted to be distracted, even compromise, and even give up. But by the grace of God, He will cause Timothy to persevere and reap an eternal reward. Sa mga kapatid sa Panginoon who are going through hardships because of faithfully serving in the gospel ministry and living out the gospel, hindi lang encouragement ito kay Timothy at kay Paul. This is our encouragement. We will suffer doing what is right. We will face hardships and pains obeying God's will. We will feel alone when we choose to do what is right sa loob ng opisina o sa paaralan. And we will face opposition as we labor away in the gospel ministry because what you have is an unpopular, offensive message. Expect opposition. And at ito ang nakalakip sa pagiging tapat na Kristiyano. Because our focus is to please the one who called us to salvation and enlisted us in the gospel proclamation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 hanggang 21 tells us, if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. You endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His footsteps. If you are suffering for the cause of the cross, you are following the footsteps of your Redeemer. So verse 7, Paul exhorts Timothy to meditate on these as he endures suffering. Hindi man niya lubusan siguro naunawa ng reason for such suffering, but in God's time, He will provide understanding. He needs to trust His sovereign goodness. Now, kung mapapansin natin, ang tatlong analogy na ginamit ni Paul all have something in common. All of them suffer hardships. All of them suffer in hardships to attain a reward. You see that? Ang hardworking soldier enjoys ang fruit ng kanyang labor by an accomplished mission, pleasing the commander. An athlete by winning the prize. Ang farmer naman, a bountiful harvest. Paul is saying to Timothy that those who persevere with single-minded devotion to Christ will receive a much greater prize. Something na hindi nyo mararanasan at makakantan dito sa mundong ito. Our eternal reward in heaven, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. As Paul encourages Timothy to strive like a soldier, athlete, at farmer, now he encourages him, so verse 8, to strive to remember. Remember what? Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David. He is to remember na si Jesus ay ang descendant ni David. Bakit? Because this highlights Jesus' humanity. na siya'y dumating sa mundo na ito na tunay na Diyos at tunay na tao na galing sa lahi ni David. At bilang tao, he faced all the sufferings ng pagiging tao. Naggutom siya bilang tao. Nagkasakit siya bilang tao. Nakaranas ng pain and hardships bilang tao. Nakaranas ng kalungkutan, rejection, abandonment bilang tao. At bilang tao, he too was tempted. He too was tempted. But unlike David, unlike Paul, unlike Timothy, unlike you and me, Jesus did not give in to sin. He persevered in faithful obedience to the Father. Jesus demonstrated his supreme act of faithfulness to God the Father's mission by willingly enduring the cross for our sins. Jesus suffered and died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Pero ang suffering and death ni Christ is not in vain. Because according kay Paul dito sa passage, he has risen from the dead. And whoever repents from their sins and place their faith in Christ's finished work on the cross will have eternal life, will be forgiven, will be restored. So there is an invitation, mga kaibigan, for you to turn away from your sins, repent from it, and place your faith in Christ. As taught in Scripture, Christ and what He has done on the cross para sa atin. Believe in this. Ang point ni Paul dito ay kung ang suffering ni Jesus ay may hangganan and was rewarded with life and vindication for His faithfulness, those of us who also suffer with Christ will receive a great reward if we willingly endure suffering for His sake. Sa verse 10, ginamit ni Paul si Christ at ang kanyang sarili bilang halimbawa ng faithful sufferer. Marami nang pinagdaan ng suffering si Paul para sa Panginoon kasi ito yung pinangako po sa kanya ng Panginoon. This was promised to him by Jesus in a vision sa Acts chapter 9, kay Ananias, isang disciple, when he said, sa verse 16, "For I will show him," si Paul, "how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." This was promised. Jesus promised this to his disciples. Ito rin yung promise sa atin. We will suffer in this world as we walk in faithfulness sa Kanya. Kung tayo ay magpapatuloy na may katapatan sa Kanyang gawain. But the reward, my friends, is greater than the sufferings na pinagdadaanan natin ngayon. Or any blessings na pwede natin matanggap ngayon. At habang sinusulat ni Paul ang bahagi ng liham na ito, na i-imagine ko kumakalansing yung kadena sa kanyang wrist. He is bound with chains sa loob ng Roman prison, but ang sabi niya, the word of God is not bound. Sabi sa verse 9, maaring nakakulong ako, pero ang salita ng Diyos hindi nyo kaya pigilan. Itong gospel na to, kakalat ito. Kasi galing sa Diyos ito. So verses 11 to 13, look how Paul continues to comfort Timothy sa promises ng gospel. Na kahit mamatay si Paul sa oras na ito, there is a promised resurrection sa kanya sa future. Paul here quotes Romans chapter 6. And so verse 5, he said, "If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." The promised resurrection is the Christian's hope and comfort and life. Why? Because you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You are now a child of God. Eternity is secured in His presence. Kaya we encourage everyone to join us every quarter sa ating baptism service. That's the reason why na lagi kami nag-i-invite kapag may ibabaptize sa church, we ask you to come and witness how new believers make their faith public as they are buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. It was a joy to have witnessed this a few weeks ago na may binaptize tayo ng mga kapatid. So don't miss this out. Let this baptism service be an encouragement to your soul. It's a reminder. This brings joy, hope, and encouragement. So don't miss out yung ating mga baptism services. Another encouragement na binigay ni Paul kay Timothy is that if we endure suffering for Christ to the end, we will rule with Jesus, or we would reign. Now, we don't actually have a lot of understanding kung ano ibig sabihin po neto, but we do know one thing. We will take part in judging angels. I don't know kung ano itsura noon, pero God will, we will co-reign with Christ in this area. Makita niyo sa 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. You can look it up later. As He gives encouragement, He also gives warning. May warning din po. That those who deny Jesus, Jesus will also deny those who deny Him on that great day. Again, this letter is read hindi lamang kay Timothy, kung hindi sa buong church ng Ephesus. Intentionally to warn those who apostatize or are planning to turn their back on Christ. If they continue to deny Christ till they die, this means there was no saving faith to begin with. Kaya they will be judged. He ends itong part na ito with another encouragement that those who listen sa warning na ito will continue to persevere and trust that the Lord Himself will persevere the faithful to the end. Yes, we need to work hard to persevere, but really it is the Lord who will cause us to persevere. He who began a good work in you will be faithful. Again, a picture of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. A faithful gospel minister is a disciple maker. He is a devoted servant. And number three at last, he's a diligent worker. Verses 14 and 15. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Paul instructs Timothy to constantly remind itong mga faithful minato and the Ephesian church of the truths of the gospel so that they won't get swayed by false teaching. Tapos sa second part ng verse 14, he strongly urges Timothy to charge them to abstain from taking part ng mga foolish, senseless arguments. He urged him. Now, hindi sinabi ni Paul na maging tahimik sila when the gospel is being challenged or put into question. Alam natin sa Galatians chapter 2, Paul defended the gospel when it's being attacked. Ang reason why Paul doesn't want them to engage in senseless, foolish arguments because, ito po ang dahilan, and sinabi rin niya rito, it does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Paul instructing Timothy to charge them na wag mag-engage sa mga petty, senseless, foolish na mga debate o mga word fights. Huwag kayong makipag-engage dyan dahil hindi ito nakaka-build up, hindi ito nakaka-edify ng mga kapatiran. It does not encourage nor contribute to the spiritual growth ng isang Kristiyano. But instead, it causes them to be hateful, angry, prideful. Yun ang nangyayari kapag may mga ganong klaseng arguments and foolish talks and senseless conversations. Friends, let me ask us this. Ang mga personal preferences mo ba, do you think it's causing division sa mga kapatiran sa church? Do you quickly come down to someone who has a different theological conviction than yours? Are we quick to debate? Quick to be angered? Quick to post negative comments, memes on your social media? To express strong disagreements? Friends, do we engage ourselves in petty, senseless, worthless, unbiblical arguments? Do you quarrel with words online over political preferences? Now, just a reminder sa ating mga kapatid sa Panginoon, lalo na na medyo mainit ang season ng politics sa Pilipinas ngayon. Our freedom of speech, freedom of posting, if you may, should never be an excuse to set aside Christlikeness. Christians are marked by Christ's love, and so we are to exemplify that love to others, especially sa mga kapatiran, through patience, grace, humility, and wisdom. As your pastor and your brother in Christ, I urge you, I urge us to not stir up hatred, division, or say and do things that will wound each other's consciences. Rather, together as a church, let's be united in our common bond kay Christ, and entrust our beloved country, the Philippines, to our sovereign Lord who knows what He is doing. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Now, instead of wasting time and energy on worthless, senseless, and unbiblically groundless debates, Paul urges Timothy, in verse 15, to use his words in rightly teaching God's word. Kung tayo magkakaroon ng pag-uusap dito o balitaktakan ng salita, dapat is kung paano ituro ang salita ng Diyos. Paul is not instructing Timothy to act in such a way to win God's approval, because Timothy can't win God's approval. No one can. Timothy was already a Christian. Thus, he has already been made approved by God through Jesus Christ. So Paul is instructing Timothy to be a worker approved by God by completely, accurately, clearly, and boldly teach God's word to his hearers. The approved worker of God handles God's word faithfully. This is the only way to faithfully preserve and pass on God's word and the gospel sa next generation. Dapat tama po yung tinuturo natin. As mentioned last week, ito din ang dahilan why we choose expositional preaching as the church's regular diet para sa biblical intake. This is the reason why we do inductive Bible studies weekly, where we study the passage in advance bago siya i-preached, so we can soak ourselves well sa salita ng Diyos and meditate on how we could apply it sa ating buhay. Ito din ang dahilan why we do one-to-one Bible reading in our discipleship relationships, where we read the Bible together. Dahil naniniwala tayo sa crossroads ng salita ng Diyos ay ang final authority of our lives and not our opinions o ng ibang tao, not our experiences, not our testimonies. Ang isang approved worker ay di lamang faithfully handles the Word of God, but also rejects false teaching. Rejects false teaching. Makikita natin yan sa verse 16 to 18. Paul mentions na ang isang worker approved by God is not an inventor of a new gospel, but is a faithful proclaimer and protector of it. So verse 17, Paul describes that false teaching spreads like gangrene. Alam ko, karamihan sa atin are nurses dito, nagtatrabaho sa hospital. Familiar po tayo. Maaring madalas yung nakikita yung gangrene. Pero para sa atin na hindi familiar sa terminology na ito, ang gangrene ay isang medical condition where part of your body tissue decomposes or dies. Kaya siya nangingitim. At mabilis kumalat po yan. Mabilis kumalat ito sa katawan at pwedeng mahawaan ang ibang parts ng body that could lead to death. Ganon din ang false teaching. It spreads rapidly and dangerously infecting people in the church, one member at the time. It leads people astray from the truth of Scripture towards worldly knowledge at saka passions. Pinapatay nito ang unity ng church, causes factions and hatred, impurity. It causes others to stumble. Paul name drops two of these false teachers. Nag-name drop si Paul, Hymenaeus and Philetus. These men were spreading unbiblical teaching in the church of Ephesus, where kung saan nagpapastor si Timothy. These men had totally swerved from the right teaching of Scripture. Now, pansinin ninyo how subtle false teachers are. They're very subtle. Hindi nila dinedeny ang resurrection. Wala silang issue doon. But have corrupted it by teaching that yung resurrection ay naganap na. Ah, yung resurrection ay, nangyari na yon. They believe that the resurrection only happens spiritually. And that there will be no more bodily resurrections pagdating ni Christ. That's heresy. Listen, Crossroads, no matter how theologically it may sound, false teachings always contradict the biblical gospel. Friends, how well do you know the preachers that you usually watch and listen sa YouTube? Gaano nyo sila kakilala? Or sa podcast? Or the one who wrote yung book na binabasa mo? Or yung articles na binabasa mo online? Friends, listen, not all preachers and writers that claim to be Christian are teaching the right gospel. Friends, listen, not all of them are. Maybe they're not even Christians. In light of Paul's methodology at saka example na nag-name drop siya, let me mention a few. Of course, wala naman dito sa congregation natin. Ano? It's not true what Joel Osteen said, that your best life is now. Because Jesus said sa Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasure in earth but in heaven. It is not true what Stephen Furtick said, that Jesus broke the law for love. Because Jesus said in Matthew 5, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. It's not true what the well-renowned apostle, pastor, Apollo Kiboloy said, that he is the appointed Son of God, and through him there is salvation. You know why? Because Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, if you are new in the faith or new dito sa Crossroads and you're not familiar with the preachers or authors who teach false doctrine or gospel, you can either do one of three things or altogether pwede mong gawin. Number one, approach the pastors of Crossroads. Can I ask all the pastors of Crossroads to please stand? Lahat ng mga pastors ng Crossroads, please stand. No, hindi ko kayo pakakantahin. Just please stand. Si birthday boy, nasaan? After ng service, kung doubtful kayo sa binabasa o pinapanood nyo, wag ako sila lapitan nyo. Approach us. Approach us. Thank you, brothers. Second, meron po tayong bookstall sa foyer. Okay? We elders examine yung mga books na binibenta po dito. We trust si Brother Carlos, yung deacon natin ng bookstall, who purchases and examines yung mga libro that is good for your soul. It's God-glorifying. It's gospel-centered. So I urge you to go to the bookstore mamaya. Try to look for that book that could help you. And here's the thing. Ang unang mang lumapit kay Carlos at nakita yung gusto niyang libro, ililibre niya yun. Babayaran ng church yun. Walang kidding. Now, if you're a member of a church, magparaya na tayo sa iba. Okay? But seriously, first person, visitor, or attendee na lumapit kay Brother Carlos and nakita niya isang libro na gusto niyang bilihin, wag lang yung sobrang kapal at malaki na joke. No, any book, then please tell them, ito yung price na I fought the good fight. I finished the race. Nauna ako. So I want my prize. So please claim it mamaya. Okay? Approach the elders of Crossroads. Go buy a book or claim a book sa foyer. And third, ask the members of Crossroads who invited you. Definitely, they will help. They will point you to the word of truth. Kasi our assurance comes from knowing the word of truth. Paul reassures them two powerful truths. So verse 19. Una, the Lord knows those who are His. The word knows here means someone who has an intimate relationship with God. So in short, Paul is saying the Lord knows kung sino ang may relationship sa kanya. So Paul reassures them that though the elect has been deceived by the false teachers, God's promise to the elect still stands. The Lord did not fail them because they know them. And kung nasaan ang Panginoon, nandun din sila. They will be resurrected on Christ's return. That is reassuring, hindi ba? Yun ang attempt na ginagawa ni Paul kay Timothy at Timothy na sabihin sa church. Na mga nagdududa sa kanilang kaligtasan through Christ. Those who have placed their faith in Christ, God have given them the seal of the Holy Spirit as a sign of ownership. Pangalawa, sabi rin ni Paul, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. This is another reassurance that Paul gave to Timothy in times of hardships. He is saying that you will know who the elect are. Alam niyo kung paano? Because they will continue to persevere in righteousness till Jesus returns. And so, they should depart from divisive teachings or talks. Then Paul gives another analogy, so verses 12 to 17, hanggang 20, where he talks about two different vessels sa bahay ng isang mayaman. Ang isa for honorable use, which means ito yung ginagamit pang display ng mga prutas o pagkain for aesthetic reasons sa isang bahay ng isang mayaman. At meron naman isa na tinatawag na dishonorable one na kung saan ginagamit po ito lalagyana ng dumi ng tao. Paul's point, ano yung point ni Paul dito? Paul's point here is if we are to be useful sa gospel ministry, we should avoid doctrinal at moral errors and pursue holiness. Kaya sa verses 22 to 23, Paul exhorts Timothy and the men he is training that the church is to stay away from sexual immorality, worldliness, and being quarrelsome. Yun yung mga bagay na kailangan niyang iwasan. Sexual immorality, kamunduhan, at yung madalas mong pakikipag-away, hindi dapat kasama yon. Listen, hindi tayo magagamit ng Panginoon kapag tayo ay nasa kasagsagan ng kasalanan. Hindi tayo magagamit ayon sa kalooban niya. Of course, God can still use anyone. But as a person who claims to be a Christian and in sin, mahirapan tayo. it is counterintuitive. Kasi ang faithful na minister of the gospel pursues holiness. Friend, if this describes you today, at ikaw ay nasa kasagsagan ng kasalanan, there is hope in Christ. There is hope in Christ. May pag-asa. Unang-una, buhay ka pa. That's God's grace and mercy sa iyo. Hindi ka pa niya kinukuha. Second, Christ died on the cross and has resurrected for you. Brother and sister Christians, wala tayong nagawang kasalanan na hindi kayang bayaran ng Panginoon o binayaran ng Panginoon. Yung ginawa mo lang kanina, sama sa cross. And if you're a non-Christian and you feel that, I feel na para pastor, hindi ako para sa Panginoon eh, dahil talagang hindi mo ako kilala. Hindi mo ako kilala. And marami ako nagawang bagay na pinagsisiyang ko na ultimo hindi ko mapatawad ang sarili ko. Let me encourage you, wala kang ginawa na kasalanan sa buhay mo na hindi kayang bayaran ng Panginoon. There is an invitation to once again repent and to trust Him. Be reminded when we were dishonorable sinners, God saved us and made us honorable vessels in Christ. Para tayo maging kagamit-gamit at effective sa kanyang gawain. Ephesians 2:8-10 is a good reminder sa atin. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You are saved to serve, not serve in order to be saved. Nilinis ka, inayos ka ngayon, gusto kang gamitin ng Panginoon. And if you are a Christian, a member of Crossroads, are you serving the greater body ng Crossroads? Kasi God saved you to serve. The type of servant na gustong gamitin ng Panginoon ay makikita sa verse 24 hanggang 26, which is yung last verses natin. They are kind, patient, gentle, able to teach without a quarrelsome spirit, and correct his opponents with gentleness. Bakit ito mahalaga? Kasi we not only want to proclaim, preserve, and pass on the gospel, we want also to live it out. We want to display yung beauty ng Panginoon Hesukristo sa ating buhay. Hindi lang ito mamutawi sa ating labi. Gusto natin mapakita kung anong itsura ng what it means to live a gospel-centered life, a Christ-centered life. Is it attractive? Is it beautiful? Is it drawing me to Christ? Is it satisfying? Gusto natin mapakita ko na itsura nito to the watching world. In hopes, as we correct ang mga false teachers, as we correct even our non-believing loved ones, sa kanilang mga maling paniniwala at pamumuhay, they would look at our lives and see how loving and gentle we are to them na ma-attract sila sa gospel mismo ni Christ. The gospel that would lead them to salvation. Friends, if we are to endure suffering as a result of serving and following Christ, then we must cultivate, by the help of God's Spirit, we must cultivate as a church love, righteousness, gentleness, faith, peace. You can look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians for that. Pero hindi lamang dapat tayo protector, preserver ng gospel kung hindi embody natin ito. And I pray that Crossroads would be a church would display yung beauty ni Christ at yung glory ng Panginoon to the watching world in Dera, in Dubai, and beyond. Because a gospel minister, that's all of us. is a disciple maker, devoted servant, and a diligent worker who will persevere by the grace of God to the end. Let's pray. You who have saved us, Lord, is faithful. And we are forever, eternally grateful for your saving grace sa aming life. That same grace is also that grace that causes us to persevere. I pray for my brothers and sisters dito at Crossroads that we would persevere in faith. That we would be people who are not just happy that we're just saved, but also seek to find someone to share the gospel so that they would also be saved by the grace of God and join us in our rejoicing and in worshiping you. I pray that you would give us a heart for brothers and sisters, that we would pour into them, disciple them, life on life, discipleship sa kanila. I pray, Father, that tulungan mo kami rito. Give us boldness. Give us readiness. Give us wisdom. I pray that we would also not just be the proclaimers of truth, but also the defenders of it. Will you teach us, Father, to defend truth with love, with gentleness, with kindness? Oh Lord, we are thankful for everything that you have done and you are doing dito sa Crossroads. I pray that you would raise up more pastors in this church, men who are faithful, who are able to teach your word and live a life that exemplifies Christ-likeness, so that we could model, we can teach, and entrust this to many more people sa church na ito and beyond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.